Welcome to Wild Utah, the podcast of the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. I'm Dave Pacheco. In this episode of Wild Utah, we bring you exciting news from Washington, D.C. about an issue we detailed in our first episode, wilderness legislation for Emery County, Utah. Our guest is SUA Executive Director Scott Groney. Scott's been around Utah wilderness issues long enough to know that what happened on February 12th in Congress was a long time in the making, and is truly wonderful news for Red Rock Country. He'll help us understand how this legislative deal emerged and set it in the historical context of the Protect Wild Utah campaign over the last 35 years. Thanks for joining us, Scott. It's been a long time in the making, but a bill designating wilderness in Utah passed the U.S. Senate February 12th. Tell us what happened in regards to the Emery County Public Lands Management Act.
Well, this is legislation that was introduced about a year ago by Representative John Curtis and Senator Hatch. It died at the end of 2018, and it was picked up and put into a package of land bills the beginning of this Congress in January 2019. There was a vote of the full Senate on that package, including Emery County, and it passed 92-8 over the objections of a few, including Utah Senator Mike Lee.
So as our listeners recall, this is the bill that SUA opposed as originally proposed by the Utah politicians and the Emery County Commission. So as you explained, the bill did pass the Senate, and it is a good bill. So what changed? What made it better?
It is a good bill now in terms of protecting places in the San Rafael Swell, portions of Desolation Canyon and Labyrinth Canyon, but it didn't start that way. When the bill was introduced a year ago, it opened new routes to off-road vehicle use. It took away an agreement that had been reached to have a new travel plan for the area. There were a series of problems with it in the language, and perhaps most important, it didn't go far enough in terms of protecting land.
So elaborate on that. Was it just a matter of acreage, or was it the way that the language was written?
Both. You know, the language is problematic in terms of being heavily oriented towards allowing or promoting off-road vehicle use. But there was also a problem is that there simply wasn't enough land protected as shown on the map.
Where were some of these areas that were left out?
You know, the areas that we really focused on were Labyrinth Canyon on the Green River, Muddy Creek at the south end of the swell, and the Western Badlands on the western side of the San Rafael Swell. Real gains were made in terms of protection for the first two. Unfortunately, we did not get much protection for the Badlands. Although those lands will remain in America's Red Rock Wilderness Act and will continue to fight to see that they be protected.
Our listeners will probably also recall that there was a problem or a concern that SUA had that the bill stopped at the county boundaries. Was that ever resolved?
No. It is one of the problems of how the legislation was handled that it only affected public lands within Emery County. The fortunate thing, though, is within those constraints that the areas on county boundaries will be fully protected. That is, when we come back for legislation for Wayne County or Grand County, if you know, presuming that that legislation matches up to the full potential of wilderness, we'll be able to protect the entirety of these landscapes that are deserving.
So that was a concern that SUA had, which was that the bills as proposed stopped at the county boundary at the Emery County line, which in many places is a straight line across a topography that doesn't conform to the straight line. And on the eastern boundary was the Green River. On the other side of the river was Grand County, and that was not included, right?
That's correct, Dave. And so it was obviously important. We realized that when we did Labyrinth Canyon on the Emery side, and in this bill, it will be protected from Bull Bottom all the way down really to the National Park, Canyonlands, that anything that was left out on that side then would naturally probably be left out when we came to Grand County. So it was the importance of protecting the specific lands on the east side, but also knowing that you could either hurt or help yourself in a following bill.
Well, this is great news. So really historical. And I think it'd be important at this point to talk about where this bill kind of came from and put it into the historical context of what Emery County has proposed in the past and how this bill is actually a few steps better than anything we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the history of wilderness legislation for BLM We had the 2006 legislation for the Cedar Mountains, 2009 for Washington County, and now the Emery County bill, which we presume will pass in 2019. Those bills all succeeded because those are the only bills the Utah delegations introduced that have been supported by the Utah Wilderness Coalition that SUA is part of. But there have been a ton of other bills introduced, and really this Emery, when was really a fight? It started 25 years ago. In the last 25 years, there have been six other Emery County bills that have been introduced. All have failed because all really failed to take into consideration that these lands belong to all Americans, not just a handful of local politicians. Each bill improved upon the one that came before. And with this bill, it finally got the place where the protection included is worthy of the landscape involved.
And is that just a matter of the political time that we're in, that the bill got to a point where these Utah politicians have kind of accepted the fact that, yes, these lands do belong to all Americans and that they need to take into account the opinions of others?
I'm not sure if I would go that far or more to say that in this case, particularly with Senator Hatch, what he was willing to do this time is make the sort of compromises that were necessary to get agreement from Senator Richard Durbin from Illinois, who's the chief champion on America's Red Rock Wilderness Act. You know, was Senator Hatch's retirement a factor? Could be. But also I think it's worth saying that the Utah Wilderness Debate has dramatically changed over the last 30 years. I mean, the midpoint on what people think should be protected has changed considerably. You know, 30 years ago, the rallying cry was not another acre of wilderness. I think now that people in Utah, even if they frankly are opponents of wilderness, recognize any bill has to go well past the existing wilderness study areas to have a chance of passage. And I think with this bill, it's also been clear that, you know, any bill to succeed will have to meet the agreement of America's Red Rock Wilderness champions in Congress, you know, right now being led by Senator Durbin in the Senate and Alan Lowenthal in the House.
Yeah, and that really comes down to the people and the citizen power. So, I mean, it seems to me that over the course of time, the rallying cry for Protect Wild Utah has grown, and the Utah politicians have recognized that. And even events that SUA and the Sierra Club sponsored here in Salt Lake City seem to have indicated that over the last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, thousands of people have been involved in this success. It still has to get through the House. It still has to get past Trump. But right now, it looks like that should happen in the coming weeks. You know, there are so many people over the years that have worked on this issue. All of that work added up here. I mean, you know, the Utah Wilderness campaign to protect these lands has been like water running over stone, slowly over the years, wearing down opposition. And we finally got to the place where, you know, frankly, this was an extraordinary bill. The amount of land protected in this legislation, you know, is really far beyond what traditional wilderness bills in other states have done, particularly when you make a comparison between the amount of land that's out there and the amount of land that's already protected as wilderness study areas.
So, Scott, you mentioned that the bill has now passed the Senate. It's not law yet. What has to happen in order for this bill to become law?
Still got to pass the House of Representatives, and it's got to get a president's signature. Right now, it doesn't look like there's opposition in the House, and I think people are expected that it should sail through, perhaps as early as the last week of February. Again, there's no reason why a reasonable president wouldn't sign this thing. Unfortunately, those aren't the rules we're playing with right now. But it's hard to imagine even Donald Trump would veto a bill that passed the Senate 92-8 and has significant Republican support. Well, the truth is, though, if he did decide to go on a crazy binge and veto the thing, there's sufficient votes to overturn it.
Well, so then it seems like there's a couple of reasons why we'd have people take action here. One would be to thank the representatives who have made this happen, in particular John Curtis, the representative from Utah, who sponsored the bill, but also, you know, as kind of a safeguard to kind of push it over the finish line. So I think what we'd like to do is encourage folks to give Representative Curtis a call, tell him thanks for helping out here, And we actually have his phone number, so folks can do that. You can call him in his Washington, D.C. office at 202-225-7751. Tell him thanks. So, Scott, help us put this in perspective, where this Emory County legislation, this bill, fits in the overall effort to protect wild Utah. We've been working for a long time to protect large swaths of wildlands that are managed by the BLM in Utah. This county is just one portion of that. Talk a little bit about where this thing fits.
Well, Dave, I think this bill is important for two reasons in terms of the overall Red Rock campaign. One, in terms of the land it's protecting, and then also the political importance. We got 9.5 million acres of Red Rock country that deserves protection. This is the third good wilderness bill that's passed in Utah for BLM. You know, we're getting close to about 1 million acres of designated wilderness. We've still got another 2.5 million acres that are protected already as wilderness study areas. We've probably got another 2 million acres on that have some form of administrative protection. So we're getting up, 6 million acres now have some form of protection of the 9.5 million acres. It's just been a steady stair step of one step at a time in terms of gaining protections for places like Canaan Mountain or Cedar Mountains or Muddy Creek. And so this bill is a big jump forward of almost 700,000 acres of protection. I think this bill also really matters politically. This is the first significant BLM bill in Utah. Up till now, for the most part, the delegation has tried to ram through crappy little wilderness bills, and we have been stopping them. This is really the first time on a big scale where the delegation has said, we really want to try to do something here, and we're willing to make the kind of compromises towards the Red Rock Act to get something over the finish line. And I think also they have to recognize they can't roll us. If you don't have the support of SUA and the Utah Wilderness Coalition, you're not going to pass a bill. I think this proved it. And so hopefully we'll waste a lot less time down the road on bad bills and spend a lot more time working to pass good bills. This is a big step forward.
So does SUA or the Utah politicians have an idea where the next step is for wilderness designation in Utah?
Well, you know, in discussions with Representative Curtis, he's expressed an interest in heading towards Grand County, you know, the area around Moab, and that gives us a chance to protect all of Labyrinth Canyon. There's also, people naturally look towards San Juan County. We're after the recent election. You've got a majority of the county commissioners down there that support Bears Ears, want to see places protected. But the truth is, this is going to be a long-term campaign that plays out bit by bit. You know, we still have to fight the Trump administration hard for the next 2 years. But we'll be looking for the door to open, and probably Grand County is the next place for that to happen.
Well, let's hope that door opens. I know there's a lot of support for wilderness down in Grand County, and the prospects of anything happening in San Juan County really couldn't have been thought of a couple of years ago. So we're looking forward to that, too. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Scott. This is truly a monumental moment, and it's one that a lot of people have worked hard for over the years. We really appreciate you taking the time to give us an idea about how the sausage is actually made in Washington, D.C. It's not easy, and it takes a lot of time, and this really shows that hard work pays off.
Thanks, Dave. I mean, I'd like to close just saying, thanks to the thousands of people that have been working on Red Rock Wilderness for 30 years. It's paying off.
Wild Utah is made possible by the contributing members of SUA. Our theme music is written and performed in Moab by Haley Noel Austin. Our producer is Jerry Schmidt. Wild Utah is recorded at the studio of KRCL 90.9 FM, Listeners Community Radio of Utah, in Salt Lake City. To stay informed about current events at SUA, visit us at sua.org and click on Get Involved to discover how you can join the movement to protect Wild Utah. And as you can tell from this episode, your involvement, persistence, and activism make a big difference. To receive information and alerts via text message, text the word Utah to 52886. That's the word Utah to the number 52886. Follow the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance on Facebook, on Instagram at Protect Wild Utah, and on Twitter at Southern UT Wild. And be sure to subscribe to the Wild Utah podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. Visit SUA.org/podcast for additional ways to subscribe. On behalf of SUA, I'm Dave Pacheco. We hope you can join us for the next episode of Wild Utah.